Thankful for salvation and to know that I'm still saved. Isn't eternal security a great thing? That's another work of the Holy Spirit that Stephen's talking about. And Sunday school has been very good. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Matthew chapter number 16, if you would. Matthew chapter 16. I've been dealing with this thought of discerning the times. Discerning the times. Just started out as one message and it's turned into several now. But each one different and each one important in the series. The last 2 weeks I've looked at discerning the deception. Discerning the deception. And today I want to begin to look at discerning through Scripture. I gave several verses last week in response to some of the things that were happening at these revivals and some of the things that were happening during this movie, The Jesus Revolution. And I gave some scriptures in response to some of those things. And that began the discerning through Scripture. But now I want to look at a bunch of verses. So today, keep your Bibles open. I try to have them laid out somewhat in order. There's a couple we'll bounce back and forth with. But I want you to open and look at it. And for the most part, on some of these verses, I'm just going to give you verse after verse after verse. We're going to look at it and let the Bible define itself, as Brother Stephen said this morning. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 1 is our text. I'm going to read it again. It's the one we started with several weeks ago. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. We know the Jews required a sign, but these Pharisees and Sadducees were taking advantage of that, and they were trying to tempt Jesus. The Bible said in verse number 2, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Pretty much told him, listen, all the signs that you need, you've already been given. And it's already been spelled out for you by the prophets. Pay attention to what's going on. You can discern the weather, but you can't discern the times. And so that's what kind of sparked this message. And I've known of several other preachers and pastors that are dealing with this subject now of discernment. And the reason is because there's a lot of deception going on. And we need God's people to get their head out of the sand and look, get back in the book and see what's going on. We don't need you to look around and have an opinion about what's going on. We need you to get back in the book and see what's going on. And so that's what started this whole series. So I went over discernment. We looked at the definition of it. And just for the sake of the message this morning and the series, it means to see, look at, inspect, perceive, consider, to discriminate, to judge, to have knowledge of. That's what the word discernment means. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book is the discerner. We discern through the discerner. And this is all the things that we've covered before. So I want to talk this morning, preach this morning about discerning through Scripture. If we make an opinion or we form an opinion about something as a child of God, it ought to be scriptural. It ought to be something that's biblical, a biblical response. And I promise you, just about everything, if not everything, you face in this life, you can find a biblical response for it. God's not going to leave any stone unturned for the child of God to figure out what to do when you're following Him. He has laid it out from beginning to end. I've said this before. When we first started the church, word spread, I guess somehow, that we had started the church and changed the church name. And I don't know how some of these people find churches. But they found us and called us and said, we have a wonderful curriculum for children. And we do use some Sunday school material as a guide to go through there. But it all points back to Scripture. And the Scripture is the basis and foundation of everything we do. But this curriculum, I looked at it and said, well, you know, we'd like to use something as a guide for the classes. We know the Bible's our guide, but just to have some kind of formal thing that the teachers can teach throughout the year, some subjects or whatever. And so I began to look at it, and man, it was a humanistic gospel is what they were trying to push on churches. And I said, man, we don't need this. He goes, well, what are you going to do?
said, I don't know, we'll use the Bible. And that guy said, just the Bible? And this was 8 years ago. And I'm telling you, just the Bible still works today. It works for everything we do. Christ is our Savior, and this Bible is our foundation for everything that we do. We discern through the discerner. We discern through the Bible, not through feelings, not through opinions. And I have some illustrations of those I'm going to give here in just a few moments. There's too many people making judgments based off their feelings. I preached on this movie last week a little bit, but I'm telling you, people have lost their mind over the movie. They lost their mind over the revivals. Now they've lost their mind over the Jesus Revolution movie. I've heard of people, I've heard testimony of some of you came up to me and said, hey, my neighbor, my friend, my coworker said that they heard of somebody where it changed their life. You've got to go see this movie. Nothing that has ever been produced from Hollywood is going to change your life spiritually. That book is what changes your life spiritually. And there's nothing scriptural going on in those movies. There's maybe a tiny bit, and I'm going to get to that as an illustration here in just a few minutes. People make discerned decisions every day. I hope you do. People make discerned decisions every day of their life. There's big decisions people make, like where to live, where to work, and where am I going to learn or go to school, or how to make money or how to spend money. And there's big discerning decisions that we make every day. And I wonder how often as a child of God that we make those decisions through this book. I've heard the old preachers say over and over and over again that if you have a major decision to make, you better spend 3 days praying and talking to God and reading this book before you make that decision. You know what that is? That's some discernment. That's some discernment. If you hear a noise in your car, you don't go the same day and sign a lease or a loan application to buy a brand new car the same day because you heard a noise. But you know there's some people that do that. What do you do? Spend some time praying about it. Ask God about it.
It might be a squirrel in your trunk or a trunk monkey or something. People make major decisions every day. And I wonder how often as a child of God, and I wonder as a pastor sometimes, I pray for people and I say, man, they're just not making good decisions. What's happening? They're discerning and making decisions without consulting Scripture. That's a dangerous thing to do. And listen, that's what I'm preaching about this morning, discerning through Scripture. There's minor decisions we make every day. What's a minor? It's major, but it's minor. What am I going to wear today? Where am I going to go? What am I going to listen to? Those are little things that we do. But man, if you start off the day with the Word of God and looking through this discerner, the rest of the day's decisions will be a whole lot easier. You read Proverbs every day and you stay in this book and you're going to see some things that will help you in your day. The question this morning, the question I have for every Christian, child of God, anywhere in this world, is what is assisting you in making a discernment? What is assisting you in making a decision? How do you go through a decision process? Is it by a feeling or is it through Scripture? That's really what it boils down to. You get on social media and everybody tells you their opinion. And most of the time it's based off of what they feel. I feel like I've been done wrong. I feel like you did me wrong. I feel this and I feel that. And I'm telling you, your heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Amen. Our mind will deceive us. I'm telling you, when you're trying to do something for God, you're trying to pray or study a message, the devil will put thoughts in your mind just like that. You try to pray for other people and the devil will put thoughts in your mind that are evil toward that other person. And sometimes those are hard to fight against, but you got to give them to God and move on. But people try to discern through their feelings. And I tell you, as a child of God, my feelings don't matter. There's that saying, I hope I can remember it right, but about the Bible being true and I believe it, the Bible's true even if I don't believe it. God's right even if I don't believe it. It's still right. So what is truth? We're talking about discerning through Scripture, discerning through truth. Look at John 17:17, and here's where we're going to turn to a lot of verses in a short amount of time. Try to keep up the best you can. Most of them are in the book of John, so it shouldn't be too difficult to maneuver through there. But I want everybody in our church to try to look at these verses if you can. All right? If you can't, write it down, go back to it, or I'll give you my notes later. I don't mind ever giving notes out if anybody wants them. John chapter 17, verse number 17. It's a prayer that Jesus is praying to God the Father for His disciples. And later on we find out in chapter 17, we're included in that because He said, everyone that believes after this, we're in that number. Jesus prayed for us. And He said in John 17, 17, we're trying to find out about Scripture and truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy what? Thy Word is truth. Now listen, as I go through here, and if I ask you what the Word is, tell me what it is so I know you're there. All right? Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. This book is truth. Anything and everything that is different than this book is a lie. It's a deception. This is our standard for truth. Revival's going on. Do I immediately say that's not of God? No. I go look at the book and look at it and say, well, okay, wait a second. The Bible says something different. Right? Brother Stephen said it this morning. I agree 100%. There are other people that are not King James, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, missionary-minded, Satan-hating, sin-stomping Baptist churches. But they love God and they're saved as you and I are. I've met them in other denominations. Man, they love God. I don't know what happened down through the years, why they ended up where they're at. That's between them and God, but they love God. They're saved. I'm not saying they're not saved. But I'm talking about discerning through Scripture. And this book is the foundation. This book is the standard for truth. So if it's anything other than this, it's not truth. You say, well, what if they're doing it in Jesus' name? I mentioned a verse about that a couple weeks ago, and I'll bring it back up in just a second. Okay, sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Let's look at truth for just a second. John chapter number 1, quickly. John chapter number 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 14. In verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 14, if you're there, say amen. The Bible said, and the Word was made flesh, capital W, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and He was full of grace and truth. Look at verse number 17. Verse number 17 of the same chapter. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and what? Truth came by Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 14, verse 6. Chapter 14. And listen, I could not give you all the verses that deal with this subject of comparing Christ with Scripture and with truth. There's no time to do that in one setting this morning. I just picked out a handful of them. There is a whole lot more. And there's even pictures of it all through the Old Testament. But I can't give you all those. John 14, verse 6. Everybody knows this verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at John chapter 14, verse 17. Same chapter. John 14, 17. Jesus Christ is the truth. Brother Stephen's going to cover this in more detail in his class. He mentioned it some this morning. Verse number 17. Even the Spirit of what? Truth. Jesus Christ is talking about sending a comforter to them. And He calls them the Spirit of truth. We have to have a same ground foundation if we're going to have a conversation with somebody on what truth is. Speak your truth. I don't care what your truth is. The Word of God is truth. I don't care how you feel about what truth is. The Bible, Jesus, the Word, the Spirit is truth. We're talking about discerning through Scripture. If we're going to discern through something, we have to have a standard. Every church in this community has a different standard. Most of the preachers that stand up in the pulpit today will say, I'm going to read out of the ESV. I don't know what you're holding in your arms, in your hands. Most of them don't even have a Bible. And he's going to get up and he's going to read out of his preferred version of the week. There's no truth standard. There's no truth standard.
We have to have a standard. If I ever argue or debate somebody with Scripture, and most of the time I just ignore those people, but if I'm trying to defend my Savior and defend this book and what I believe, I'll pull out a Bible. If they pull out a different Bible, we have no common ground. And I'm telling you right now, God couldn't preserve one book through the ages that never lied, that never did anything against Him, that never sinned against Him. How in the world is He going to keep me saved? When I drove on 65 this past week, I fight against Him sometimes. I don't want to. I don't like to. It breaks my heart when I sin, but I do at times. But He keeps me saved. This book never did anything to Him. If He can't preserve one book, and I'm telling you right now, God is not the author of confusion. They cannot all be right. And I preach time and time again that I believe the King James Bible is the perfect and inerrant Word of God. Any Bible that gets translated for here on out gets translated from this English Bible to whatever language it's going in. That's how God preserved it. That's how He did it. We have to have a standard. Chapter 15, verse 26. Talking about discerning through Scripture. If you don't have confidence in this Bible, you can't make any good judgments. John chapter 15, verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of what? Truth. He's not going to lie to you, folks. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to lie to you. But if a spirit makes you feel something that makes you feel happy and excited and you want warm, fuzzy feelings towards it, that is against this book, it's a lying spirit. It is a false spirit. It is a seducing spirit. It's a deceiving spirit. We have to have a foundation. We have to have common ground that we can discern through. I'm thankful I have a Bible. John chapter 16, verse number 13. John 16, and I could go on and on with these. I'm skipping some. John 16, verse 13, you're still there. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of what? Truth. Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all what? Truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. If the Lord wants to speak to your heart today in Sunday school or in the morning service, the Holy Spirit is going to do it through this Word. He's not speaking of Himself. He's going to teach you something through this book. And again, there's many other verses that you could go over for these things. Go back to John chapter 4. Go back a few chapters. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and look at verse number 23. We're talking about discerning through Scripture. We have to define what the truth is. Is Fox News the truth? Fair and balanced? There's nothing balanced about it. CNN the truth? Newsmax? Everything on Facebook's true. They check the facts for you. This is the only thing we have, church. And if we ignore this and make decisions without it, we are messing up big time. John chapter 4 and verse number 23. John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in what? Truth. They have all the spirit in the world, preacher. Oh, I'm not saying they don't. I've seen some of the services. There's jucking and jiving and all. There's all kinds of spirits going on. People flopping around, speaking in tongues, casting out demons. There's a lot going on. But it's missing one element that just debunks the whole thing. And that is truth. And if it's not of Scripture, it's not of God. You've heard me say that several times throughout this series. Listen, church, let me throw this in. It has nothing to do with my message here, right here. But we're just as wrong if we have the truth and have no spirit. There's no reason for us, as a child of God, to be in a dead service. We serve a living Savior. We ought to have the Holy Spirit of God in here. And we ought to be able to shout and pray, praise Him and pray to Him and cry and weep tears and rejoice and have a little bit of life about us. If we're going to worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I've met plenty of deadhead Baptists that have all the truth in the world, but man, I tell you what, dry as cracker juice. No spirit, no life, just dead. And that's not right either. If the Holy Spirit touches your heart, say amen or lift your hand up or, as Brother Bowen says, say amen or oh me. It won't hurt a thing in the world. I promise there is something that you get excited about. It might not be sports, it might be sports. I don't know what it is, but there's something that gets you excited. Well, this book ought to get you excited. We ought to come ready to worship God. We don't need to let the ones that are doing it wrong scare us from doing it right. And we're just as wrong as they are if we don't have spirit. We got all the truth. Look at John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse number 32. Bible said, and ye shall know the what? The truth. And the what? The truth shall make you free. Not set you free. Make you free. We have to have the truth. This has to be our God. This has to be the foundation that makes the decision for us. It is the discerner. We discern through Scripture. We make a decision, we look and see what the Bible says about it, and we look through the lens of the Bible and say, this is what we need to do. We see what's going on in society. We see what's going to, it's going to wax worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. That's what the Bible says. It's going to get worse. A lost person headed straight for hell, and they care nothing about God or the Bible. They're worshiping Satan. They're going that direction. The devil doesn't have any reason to mess with them. He's going to try to keep the child of God, the Christian, the church that has truth, he's going to try to keep them from witnessing to them. But I tell you who gets deceived, it's the ones that should know better. It's the ones that are looking for a Christ. They're looking for a feel, chasing a feeling. Those are the ones that get deceived. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. What is the opposite of truth, church? It's a lie. That is the opposite of truth. It's not, well, this is absolute truth and I believe that. But somebody over here has a little bit different take on it. And they've got a different opinion on it, so we need to be compassionate towards that. I'm not saying being a jerk towards people. Brother Stephen was right this morning. It's a good lesson this morning. We need to have compassion toward others, but if somebody is going against that book, I cannot go with you. I can pray for you. I can try to tell you the truth. But man, we're not going in the same direction. How can two agree? Amen. If they walk together unless they be agreed. This Bible's truth. It's not the Bible has truth and this person has truth and this group has truth. And everybody has their own truth. There's only one truth. Only one. And it's this Bible. Not popular, not accepted, and it doesn't matter. We have one truth. Only one. Now you can say, I know the Bible says this, but I'm going to go against it. And I have more respect for you than the people that come up with their own truth. John chapter 8, verse number 44. The opposite of truth is lie. It's a deception. John chapter 8. We're talking about discerning through Scripture. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the what? Because there is no what? Truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So if it goes against truth, it's a lie. It's a deception, and we know where the author is. We don't have to scratch our head trying to figure out where this comes from. The Bible just told, the truth just told us where it came from. The truth's not in him. It didn't abide in him.
You're of your father, the devil. We know where it comes from. You know, one of the ways that the devil deceives people so easily is he will try to take an element of truth, a partial truth, and he'll mix it in with all of his lies so that somebody is deceived to think that this is the real deal. I mean, I don't really think that he could walk right in here and just deceive everybody in this church just like that. But he could come in with a suit and a tie on. And he could carry a form of a Bible. And he could sing Amazing Grace. Maybe a little different. He maybe does it just a little different. But it's not that bad. The scripture he's reading might be so very close that we even have to go kind of look and say, well, that sounds close. That sounds right. No, that word's different, and that word's but it's close. That is how he deceives and pulls young people out, breaks up marriages. It's just a little bit. I got an illustration. I'm not a great illustrator. I have 100% Welch's grape. I mean, this is the real stuff right here. This is the real deal. This is what we drink when we do communion. It represents the blood of Christ. I mean, it's not generic. It's 100% real, the real deal. Our Bible's the real deal. You believe that? Here's Milo's sweet tea. They're famously sweet. Right? You know what the devil does? You know what some of these churches do? Well, they're doing it in Jesus' name. Right? It says church. They say they have a Bible. Carson, would you like some 100% grape juice? Just drink a little bit, it won't hurt you. Oh, isn't that some good, some of the best grape juice you've ever had? It probably doesn't taste too bad, does it? No. It's real sweet. Lots of love. The love cult. Everybody loves one another. It's just real sweet. It went down okay. It wasn't too bad. And there was some truth in there. But where'd it go? Right? But the devil's like, you want grape juice? You want grape juice? And there's people drinking it up. And drinking it up. And you know what he did? He put just a little bit in there, enough just to get the Christian. Just a little bit, and called it something different than what it was. We're going to call it a revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven. Then God will forgive them and heal their land. That is the recipe for revival. They called it revival. Nobody was repenting of their sin. But they called it revival. It's grape juice. Man, this expired the 1st of February. I'm sorry. Am I right, church? Just a little bit. But they're doing it in Jesus' name. I read you the verse last week in Matthew 7:21 where it says that even if they prophesy in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. It says church, they have a Bible. I could go on and on and on. I've already preached this so many times here that he's an anti-Christ. He's going to do just what he can to make it look like Christ, but it's not the real thing, and he's a liar, and he's a deceiver. Not every church is a Christ-honoring church.
some of them are worshiping Satan this morning. They don't even know it because they don't have truth. And if it's not truth, it's a lie. And I'm sorry if we have family that's caught up in that. I know people personally that I'm related to that is caught up in some of this kind of stuff. And I pray for them and I feel sorry for them. But they're being deceived. They're being lied to. We're talking about discerning through Scripture.
I'm going to give an illustration next Sunday out of Scripture, and hopefully that'll be the last message.
But a Bible illustration of doing this very thing.
Go with me in Psalms 138. Psalms 138. Are y'all okay? Can you handle a handful more verses? But it feels good. That's why I use Milo's sweet tea over top of it. It still tastes sweet. It just, I mean, everything just seems like it should be okay. And there's a little bit of truth in there. We've had people leave our church and go to other churches that are King James only, in name only. The pastor doesn't even believe it's the perfect and errant word of God. He thinks it's the closest thing we have to the, you know, originals being perfect. And they'll leave and they'll say, but they used the King James. Well, they don't do anything in the church that's in the Bible. And they do stuff that goes against Scripture. You know what that is? It still tastes good. It looks like it's okay. It won't hurt anything. Psalms 138, verse number 1. I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise Thy name. He has a name that is above every name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A name above every name. I will praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy, what? Truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. But they're doing it in Jesus' name. But are they doing harm to the Word? Are they doing harm to Scripture? Because He said that He magnified His Word even above His name. And there's going to be a lot of people that chant the name of Jesus over and over again, and they're chanting it straight to hell if they've never been born again. And they're deceiving and being deceived. Go to the book of Romans real quick. We'll run through a few more verses, and I'm going to close with a biblical illustration. Romans chapter 1. We'll do this part quick. We'll just go through these verses and move on. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. When you're there, say amen. All right, there's four people there. I still hear verses, Bibles turning. That's a good thing. That's a good sound. That's a good sound in the church. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the what? Truth in unrighteousness. There have been and will always be until the Lord comes back those who will turn from truth. They will accept and take on, agree with a lie, knowing that they're doing it. Some are deceived and some will walk away from truth because you just don't know what I felt. You don't know what I felt. Look at Romans 1:25. Who changed the what? Alright, thank you, Brother Carl. Anybody else there? Romans 1:25. Who changed the what? The truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Changed the truth of God. That's what's happening, church. We're talking about discerning through Scripture. Look at Romans 2:2. Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to what? Truth against them which commit such things. Look at Romans 2:8. Romans 2:8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the what? The truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. And I'm not reading all the Scriptures around them. There's not time. But you go back and read it and look at what these people who will not accept truth are doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 4, 2. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God, what? Deceitfully, but by manifestation of the what? There's people that are handling it deceitfully, and they're lying. They're lying. Galatians 3:1. Galatians 3:1. I'm almost done. Some of you are hanging on for dear life right now. Galatians 3:1. I'm just trying to help our church as a pastor. Galatians 3:1. Discerning through Scripture. Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the what? The truth. O foolish Galatians. O foolish Christian. Who has deceived you that you're not going to obey the truth? Galatians 5:7. Galatians 5:7. And there are a lot more verses on this subject. Go do a word study on truth. Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the what? The truth. You know what Paul's saying to these churches? How come you stop discerning through Scripture, through truth? Who got you away from the truth? Who pulled you away from truth? If the only time you ever read Bibles on Facebook, you're going to be deceived every single time. There's no time to go over some of these here. I'm going to skip through here. 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the what? Truth. Paul has to deal with this subject because it happens in churches. It happens in churches. Look at 2 Timothy 4:4. And they shall turn away their ears from the what? The truth. What is the church? The truth? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Thy word is magnified above thy name. Discerning through Scripture. Titus 1:14. Right there on the next page over. Titus 1:14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the what? Truth. We could go on and on and on and on. Church, we have to discern through Scripture. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to get in this book. We have to discern through Scripture. That's why Sunday school is so important. That is why it is so important in the life of a Christian. A lot of times preaching, you get up and maybe it's a topical subject or something just dealing with something going on and maybe to help us out. And a lot of times preaching does different things. And sometimes it teaches. The last 3 weeks, my preaching has been a lot of teaching. Teaching Scripture, teaching Bible. But Sunday school is where we get an intimate relationship with the doctrines of this book. And it keeps us from being blown away with every wind of doctrine. We get grounded in Scripture. We study our Bible throughout the week. Not just read, but we study. These things are so very important in the life of a Christian. Let me give you two things. I heard these two illustrations from another preacher. I did steal them from him. But they were good on the subject. Look at Genesis chapter 27 very quickly. We're going to turn to like two more passages and I'm done. So the question this morning, church, is the discernments that you make every day, whether it's about what's going on in society or about what's going on in your home, are what's going on in your heart, are they done by feeling or by Scripture? That's really what it boils down to. And I'm going to give you illustration of both of those in the Old Testament. Then next week I'm going to preach a message out of the New Testament to kind of sum this up. Genesis chapter 27, and look with me in verse number 1. I'm not going to go over the whole story here, but many of you are familiar with this story. Genesis chapter number 27 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. Pay attention to that. He couldn't see. What does the Bible tell us in the New Testament over and over again? It tells the church to wake up. They have their eyes closed. They can't see straight. This book, the entrance of thy word, giveth light. This book is a light under our, it's a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. We see through Scripture. And if you don't, you're walking around blind in this world. I think some of the kids at Sunday school learned about that this morning, about blindness. Genesis 27, chapter 1. His eyes were dim, so he could not see. And he called Esau's eldest son and said unto him, my son, he said unto him, behold, here I am. And the story goes on. He wants to bless his son. Now, you know, a few chapters earlier, the oldest son sold his birthright for a pottage of lentils. He sold his birthright away. And there's Christians that are selling their birthright off just for a feeling and a good time. And that's exactly what happened. All right. Now look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. And he came unto his father. Now this is Jacob, the supplanter, Jacob the trickster. He came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. He said, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. If another Jesus shows up, don't accept him. And now we read in the New Testament, if they say, hey, Jesus is in the wilderness, Jesus is in the closet, Jesus is in the temple, he said, don't show up. It's not me. And Jacob said to his father, verse number 19, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me to. The father said, hey, go out there and kill me some venison. Esau was a hunter. He was a real hairy man. He said, go make that. Come bring me some meat and I'm going to bless you. Well, Jacob and his mother decided that they were going to fool their father so that he could get the blessing because she loved Jacob more than Esau. And so she told him to go out and kill a kid of the goats and took the fur from off of that and put it on him, put it on his neck. And she made that goat meat taste like the best venison you've ever eaten in your life. It must have been a pretty good cook because it worked. Verse number 20, and Isaac said unto his son, how is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Watch this. And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. He straight up lied. You know what some of these places are doing? They're lying. A lot of people are being deceived, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot that know what they're doing. Some of them are doing it for filthy lucre's sake. It is big money to have a mega church. I'm talking about big money. The devils, they're stealing from God's people that don't know how to discern through Scripture. They don't know their Bible. They're like Catholic churches. They don't want you reading your Bible. If you read your Bible, you might actually see something that's truthful and say, hey, this church isn't doing this. Or they are doing this and the Bible said we shouldn't do it. They don't want you reading your Bible. They want to just give you the verse of the day that makes you feel good about yourself. The verse of the day is never the wicked shall be turned to hell and they that forget God. That's never the verse of the day. He lied to him. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may, what? Y'all there? Genesis 27, verse number 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may, what? Feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or Jacob. Verse number 23. Or verse 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac and his father, and he what? He felt him. He is operating off of his feelings right now. And said, the voice is Jacob's. Hey, it sounds like church. It looks like church. It's so close to the real thing. But the hands are the hands of Esau. When I hear you talk, it sounds like the... It sounds like something different, but it just feels right. Something's off, but it just feels right. Y'all seeing this? Look what the Bible says in verse 23. And he what? Discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then Esau shows up and says, all right, I got it made for you. We find he begins to weep and cry because he realized he gave the oldest son's blessing away because he operated off his feelings. Church, there's people giving their marriage away and they're giving their children away because they're operating off of feelings instead of the truth of God's Word. All right, that's an example of operating by feelings. Last thing, here's an example of discerning by Scripture. This is discerning by feelings. There's actually some other illustrations in the Bible on that as well. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, and I'm finished. Here is an example of discerning by the Scripture. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged what? Sword. The discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 5. You there? Say amen. Amen. Solomon here is taking over for his dad. Taking over for David. And he's about to go to sleep. And God is going to have a conversation with him in his sleep. Verse number 5. In Gideon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon goes on to talk about how great God was to his father David. That's what he talks about for a while. But look at his request in verse number 9. Here's the request. Whatever you want, he could have asked for anything. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may" what? "Discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, and that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." And then he goes on to tell him, "I'm still going to give you riches. I'll give you the discernment. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for long life. But I'm still going to give you riches. And if you stay in the path of your daddy, I'm going to give you long life also." He goes on to just bless him. Immediately after he asked for discernment, immediately after, he gets an opportunity to judge between good and evil. Immediately. We're talking about discerning by feelings or discerning by Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 16. "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him." I mean, we're a couple. He wakes up from the dream and goes right into this situation. I'm almost finished. Hang in there with me. I appreciate your patience. Verse 18, "It came to pass," or verse number 17, "and the one woman said, 'Oh my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered a child with her in the house.' And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house." There's only two women there. Nobody else could have done what is about to be talked about. In verse 19, "And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid on it." She rolled over and smothered the child. Verse number 20, "And she arose at midnight and took my son from me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, 'Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son.' And this said, 'No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son.' Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, 'The one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other say, 'Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living.'" What do you want, Solomon? Ask anything you want. I want discernment to judge between good and bad. Immediately he gets an opportunity to make a decision. Watch this. "And the king said, 'Bring me a" what? "A sword. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged" what? Solomon's first opportunity, he said, bring me a sword. Church, everything we do, bring me the sword. Bring me the discerner of the thoughts and intents. I need to make a decision. Bring me the sword. Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child. This book's going to divide. Rightly divide the word of truth. Once you start making divisions, then I'll tell you, things start looking a whole lot clearer than they did before. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. You say, that's an awful thing for a king to want. No, no, no. He's using some discernment. This king is using discernment. Then spake the woman, who the living child wasn't of the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. You know what the king said?
Give the child to that woman right there, because she don't want to see that baby die. She's willing to give it up. So I know that's her child. This other lady was bitter. She was upset that she killed her child. And she said, I don't care. Cut it in half. The real mama would never let that happen. And guess what? He used a discerner. He said, go get me a sword. And we're going to make a division right here. And we're going to find out what truth is. Church, we need to discern through Scripture. Let's all stand. Thank you for your patience. I know I went a little long.
Discern through Scripture. I thank God I have a Bible. I have Scripture.